answer them. My phone's not ringing, so I'm okay. Jerry's had to stay home tonight. He's letting me know. Okay, Psalm 23. Again, tonight. Everybody have a good day today? Good enough to eat? Good nap? Even I laid down for a little bit. That was good. So I'm wide awake. Can go till midnight.
I don't know if I can go to midnight.
Well, what if I go to midnight? Then what are you going to do? I need a club. That's what I need. Or a rod. I need the rod. And I gotta get me a rod, and I gotta practice. Haven't had what? Oh, I know it. I know. Used to have a rod. They would hide. We had a paddle. We had several paddles, and all of a sudden they'd disappear. And then they'd hide them on us. And one day we were redoing the downstairs, and I moved something. There was a paddle hidden. Aha! Got it back. Then it disappeared again. Have no clue where they went. They were unbreakable. TJ knows. TJ probably got them all. He's somewhere. They melt nice. They what? Oh, yeah. Ah. The new refrigerators, they don't have that anymore. I know it. Yes. Yes. My mother used a broom on us. She'd chase us with a broom handle. And then my father used a belt. Mother used a broom. Well, you got six boys running through the house. Mother, my mom would use anything she could to try to slow us down. That's all. If I can just slow these kids down, I'd be fine. And so, the broom handle between the legs when you're walking or running slows you down. Pew, right down. My mother knew what to do. And then she'd say, wait till your father gets home. And when Dad got home, the belt would come off, and the rest is history. Oh, boy. The good old days. You call those the good old days, right? I don't know if they were good old days or not. How many of you like Abbott and Costello? They're my favorite old-time comedians. Absolutely love them. I got probably most of their movies, and I used to have all of the VHS tapes of them, and just absolutely love those two guys. Who's on first? What's on second? And I don't know who's on third is a classic. It was a classic. And I'm not going to read it tonight, but you got to look it up. Abbott and Costello, who's been vaccinated? Now, I wish they were around to actually do it themselves. It's just in type right now. Has anybody seen that? Yeah. Okay. That is cute. That is cute. You got to look it up. I don't know where it is. Suzanne sent it to me. It's really cute. It's the Bud and Abbott, you know, the Lou and Bud doing the been vaccinated and can't go in somewhere. And Bud's got a, or Lou's got the mask and he can't, you know, it's really funny. You got to read it. I thought it was cute. I was going to, actually, TJ and I was going to act it out, but we're not. I know. I could do Rich and Me. You got to get a funny tie and hanging way down and, you know, got to get a hat. But, boy, I'll tell you what, you used to get beat on a lot. Well, you know, Abbott Costello, he'd push him down and shove him all over the place. The what? Yes, yes, he was. Yes, he was. All right, enough of that. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Father, bless the message tonight. As we finish up this verse, we pray that you would just be working and moving in each and every one of our hearts and souls and minds and lives. Lord, we all go through valleys, every one of us. There's not a Christian alive, a human being alive that I know of that doesn't go through some kind of a valley sometime in their life. Lord, I pray that you'd help us. I pray that you'd be with us. It's so good to know that you are with us as our great shepherd, our good shepherd. Lord, we just pray that you would be with us tonight and, again, encourage us from the Word of God. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We covered that in detail this morning about the valley. In order to get to the top of the mountain, you've got to go through the valleys that are along that course up to the top of the mountain. Every mountain has valleys. And you're not just going to get airlifted up and set on the mountain. You've got to go up through it. And to go through the valleys, there's plenty of water. There's plenty of food going through the valley. The shepherd is with his flock as they make that summer trek up there every year. A good shepherd would always take his sheep to the higher ground in order to feed and forage. They would do that. But the shepherd also knew the dangers involved. The shepherd was with his sheep at all times. He never, never let his sheep go alone. He was always watching out for them, always taking care of them. He carried two things with him. The old-time shepherd would travel extremely light, have a little bit of maybe something in a sack, some food, some provisions for himself, medication for the sheep. He would always carry some antiseptic, some wine, some oil, in order to put on the sheep when it was needed. But he always had a staff, and he had a rod. The rod we talked about a little bit this morning, I'd like to just kind of work on that a little bit more tonight and what it symbolizes, and then the staff, we'll look at that also. And so nowadays, the modern shepherd probably carries a rifle or a pistol of some sort and is able to tend to the flock with that way, but not in the olden days. They didn't have that. The rod would come, again, from the root of a sapling tree. He would dig down. He'd pull that up. That root was extremely hard where all of the different roots would come together. And he would carve that out. I don't know how long it was. It wasn't as long as the staff. It was shorter, something that he could use. And that rod was his defense mechanism. It was his protection, not only his protection, but the protection of the sheep also. He would spend hours literally practicing with the rod. He would practice throwing it. He would practice using it. And it was extremely important for him to do that, learning how to throw it with extreme accuracy and with speed in order, if he needed it, if there was a danger around his flock, he would be able to pinpoint that danger. And if he had to, he'd have to throw that thing and tend to the flock and protect the flock. It was his protection, and it was his flock's protection. Even the flock somehow knew that he had that because they were comforted knowing that that rod was with the shepherd. We said this morning also that the rod symbolizes the Word of God. We have protection through the Word of God. We have the ability to be able to be directed by God and even disciplined by God. The rod was used for discipline purposes. We're going to look at some more things tonight that the rod is used for. But the Scripture is God's rod. This is where we get correction. This is where we get counsel. This book gives us direction in our life. This Bible is our lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We're to hide God's Word into our heart that we might not sin against God. It is important for us to be able to know what the Bible says. As the shepherd would practice with his rod to get accurate with throwing or using it, we as Christians need to be in this book every day, practicing what it says to do. Not just reading it, but living what it says. We need to learn it. We need to live it. We need to love what the Bible says. We taught that, or James primarily taught that this past week in VBS. It was very important. That was the prime driving factor in our Vacation Bible School this year was the Word of God. How important is the Word of God in our lives? Well, the rod is that. As I quoted this morning, Hebrews 4:12, for the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of sunder of the soul and the spirit and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That is how important the Bible is. Look at Psalm 19. We sing that. Just go over one page. My Bible's one page. Psalm 19, verse 7 down to verse 11. The law of the Lord is what? Perfect. Converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is? Sure. Making wise the simple. You know, when I read this, I'm singing it in my mind. Yeah, do you ever do that? With this, I was looking at it earlier and I'm singing it, or at least the tune is going through my mind. Get up here and play this. Let's sing that. Why read it when we can sing it, Rich? What'd you leave the piano for? You don't need to put your coat on. You really don't have to. Or do you play better with a coat on? All right. Let's sing Psalm 19, verses 7 through 11. If you don't know it, you're going to learn it now, right? The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Verse 8. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Verse 10. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Verse 9. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Verse 11. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, is thy servant warned. And in keeping of them, there is great reward. Amen. Great, great passage. Thank you, Rich. Appreciate it. You're a good-natured guy. You know what? I know you do. Go to Psalm 119. We got to sing Psalm 119. Can you play Psalm 119, Rich? Rich, get to the piano. No, I'm just kidding.
I don't know. Can you help me?
I would use the same music that you just played for the whole thing. Wonder if anybody's ever put Psalm 119 to music. Have you ever heard that? Somebody? The whole thing? All right. Anyway, Psalm 119 is the Word of God chapter in the Bible. 176 verses there that deals two really things, two main subjects is Psalm 119. Number one is God Almighty. He's mentioned in every verse, and then the Word of God is mentioned in all but I think four or five verses. Something that is mentioned about the Word of God. Verse 1, it says, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. The law of the Lord, or the law, is another name for God's Word. Verse 2, blessed are they to keep His testimonies and that seek Him with the whole heart. Testimonies is another name for the Word of God. Verse 3, they also do no iniquity. They walk in His ways. Ways is a word or a phrase for the Word of God. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Precepts is another name for God's word. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Statutes is another term for the word of God. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. I will keep thy statutes, or oh, forsake me not utterly. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee, O let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. How important is that? Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Go over to 97, verse 97. I'm not going to read the entire Psalm 119 tonight. We do that later on as we're reading through the book of Psalms. We'll come to Psalm 119 and we will read through the entire Psalm. Takes us a little bit, but we do that. Verse 97, it says, Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Now, don't say anything out loud, but is the word of God your meditation all the day? Think about that. Should it be?
Yes.
Absolutely. We should be thinking about God's word, meditating on his law throughout the entire day. That's why I believe it's so important for you and I to read it in the morning. And then to meditate on it and just let it go over in your mind throughout the day. God will bless that and you'll be blessed for it. Thou, through thy commandments, has made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. And so if you've got some enemies out there, knowing God's word is even more important than anything else. Do you know, a college education without the Bible is horrible. But education with the Bible is much better. There are a lot of kids going off to college nowadays that have no Bible and no knowledge of the Word of God whatsoever. All they're getting is education. That's all they're getting. But if you go to college with a Bible education, even off to a secular college, you're much better off that way. Because you have a foundation to stand upon. You have something that you can grasp a hold of during those times that you're going through whatever it is you may be going through. Verse 99, I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. Those are the older Hebrew men that the psalm writer is talking about. He says, just by knowing this book, even those old Hebrew, those older gentlemen, those older men that teach the Hebrew, throughout whatever they do, when you know the Word of God, you have more knowledge than they do. I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word. Boy, that's important today, keeping your feet from evil. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. The more that you're in this book, the more that you're studying the Word of God, the more you're reading the Word of God, the more you're meditating on the Word of God, the better life that you'll live. It is just natural. It'll go together. So the Word of God, or the rod, I should say, let's get back to this. The rod is a symbol of the Word of God. It's used in many different ways. I just touched on it this morning briefly. I'm just going to touch on it again briefly tonight and move along. But another thing that the rod was used for was discipline. The rod was used probably for this, as the shepherd has. As I've been reading and studying, they use the rod for this more than anything else. It's too bad, but this book has to be our discipline too. Because sometimes we stray from the truths of this book. God will use it to discipline us. As I said this morning, if the shepherd saw a sheep wandering away from the flock or approaching some poisonous plant or a weed or getting too close to some sort of danger, he would throw that club in the direction of that sheep and make that sheep wake up and realize, hey, I got to get back to the flock. And so when a preacher gets up and preaches the Word of God, the Lord will use that, God will use that, the Holy Spirit will use the Word of God as a club to straighten you out. The Word of God is whirled out at people. And then it's up to you, the flock, the sheep, to take that correction and then do something with it. Not just ignore it and go on and live your life any way you want to live it. If the Bible is trying to correct you, if God is using that rod of correction to do that, that rod of discipline. Another use for the rod is for examining sheep. Go to Ezekiel chapter 20. Ezekiel chapter 20, look at verse 37. Ezekiel 20, 37. Because of the wool is so long at times on the sheep, it's not easy to detect diseases or defects or wounds that a sheep might have. And so what the shepherd would do is he would call the sheep over one by one. He would take his rod and he would lift up the wool and he would look and see and examine the sheep. Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 37, "And I will cause you to pass under the rod, and I will bring you into the bond of the covenant." Passing under the rod is a phrase that is used by shepherds that they would allow their sheep to come under the rod, and the rod was used as a tool to look at the sheep and go over the sheep for examining the sheep. A skilled shepherd would always use his rod to part the sheep's wool to look for anything that may be a detriment to that sheep. And then in caring for the sheep, the shepherd will from time to time make a very careful examination of each sheep. He would take his time and he would examine every sheep in his flock very carefully. Not every day, but from time to time. That was his job. He would have to examine them and he would use his rod to do that. Look at Psalm 139. Psalm 139. Have you ever felt those of you that read and study your Bible daily and take it seriously, do you ever notice that when you read God's Word, it acts like, wow, I think God is examining me. I think God is looking at me. It's like when you open up that book, God is looking at you. And when you read the Word of God, the Bible says there in verses 1 and 2 of Psalm 139, "O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsetting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path in my lying down and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether." Let me tell you something. God does the examination with us. He examines us. He checks us out, and He uses His Word to do that. Go back to Psalm 26, the 26th Psalm, and look at verse 2. David, the shepherd, the psalm writer, let me read verses 1 and 2. Verse 1 is just as important as verse 2. Psalm 26, verses 1 and 2. "Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord. Therefore, I shall not slide. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart." David is saying for God to examine him. You go to the doctor and they do an examination. They're trying to find out what's wrong with you. You have some symptoms, and so that what they'll do is they'll look at you and they'll get their stethoscope and they'll check your vitals and they do all of that stuff that they do. And they're trying to figure out what's going on with you. They're doing an examination because they want to know what is the problem. And then they find out the problem. Hopefully they find out the problem. And they either write you a script or whatever it is they tell you to do, and you go and do that. And supposedly that's supposed to help you. It's supposed to remove whatever is going on with you. Well, the shepherd would do that, not in the same way as we do that today, but the shepherd would examine his sheep in a way to find out, is there anything wrong with this particular sheep? A personal examination would take place with the sheep. And so, periodically, God is going to probably just sit down with each and every one of us when we're reading His Word, and He's going to do an examination. He's going to take the rod of His Word, and He's going to examine us. He wants to know, where do we stand with Him? He wants to know, how serious are we? He wants to know how faithful we are. And so through the Word of God, He's going to examine. He's going to ask questions through the Word of God. Did you ever notice that when Jesus was asked questions, he'd return back with a question more often than not? Or he would just pose a question to them, just pop a question out there, and it would make them think. Well, sometimes when questions are asked, that's why you go to the doctor, they ask a lot of questions. They're trying to figure out what's wrong with you. God does the same thing, even through his word. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5 says, "Examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates?" God's word will search us and show all of the things in our lives that we need to change and get right with him. He will do that. Another purpose of the rod is used, and I've already touched on it, but I'm going to give you an illustration here, is for protection. I mean, that rod was held in that shepherd's hand every time, all the time, he had that rod close to him. Why would he do that? It was for the protection of not only the sheep, but for himself also. Philip Keller, a shepherd, a book that I've been reading on this whole 23rd Psalm, he was in Kenya photographing elephants. He went from shepherding to photographing elephants, but that was his love. That's what he loved to do, was photograph. He was being accompanied by a young Kenya herder, another shepherd, who carried a rod with him everywhere he went. The elephants were in this thick bush down below them, and they wanted to drive the elephants out in the open so he could get some good photographs of the elephants. And so they decided they were going to dislodge this boulder that was up on the hill. And they figured if they could dislodge the boulder and roll it down to the bush, then it'd scare the elephants out and he could get all of the photographs that he wanted. So they're trying and they're prying and pushing against the great boulder that was there. And all of a sudden, there was a coiled cobra that they unearthed. And that cobra came up and was ready to strike both of them, or one of them at a time. And yet the young shepherd, is good as he was with that rock, he beat that snake to death before that snake even had a chance to strike at either one of them. And Philip Keller tells the story of this in his book, and he says that rod, even though they were prying and trying to get that boulder, that rod never left that man's hand the whole time. And Philip Keller said it's a good thing that he had the rod. Philip Keller didn't have a rod with him at the time, but that young shepherd did, and he was able to literally, I believe, save their lives because of that. That cobra could have killed either one of them with a strike. And so that rod is used for protection. And back in those particular times, again, you know, you watch the old Western movies, and the guy's riding a horse, and he sees a rattlesnake out there, and he pulls his six-gun, boom, rattlesnake's gone. He's got to be a really good shot to kill the rattlesnake that's moving on the ground. But they never miss, right? Never miss. I don't know how they do it, but they never miss with that six-gun. You know, you can throw a little coin up in the air, boom, got the coin. I don't know how they do it, but that's how good they are. But the shepherds didn't have their little pistols and pistolas, and they didn't have a way to do that. And so they used the rod. I said this morning, it's so important, over in Matthew chapter 4 and in Luke 4, Jesus was tempted by the devil in the wilderness. Now, you might be sitting there, and I've thought about this. If I was Jesus, I would have just zapped the devil. Right? Devil, you're gone. You're out. Zap him. Just kill him. Just get rid of him. Throw him in the lake of fire. I don't know. Do something. But Jesus didn't do that. Jesus suffered in the wilderness for us. He suffered intense persecution in the wilderness. He fasted for 40 days. Maybe some of you have done that, but that's got to be an extreme fast to go 40 days without food. I believe he probably had water during that time. It doesn't say, but it just said he fasted, and afterward he was and hungered in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 2. But when the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." But he answered and said, what did he say? "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." What did Jesus? Jesus went back to the Old Testament, pulled a verse out of Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 3, and quoted it to the devil. So the Lord maybe didn't carry a rod like the shepherd would carry, but what the Lord had in his mouth was the Word of God. And he used that against the devil. Simply quoted a verse from the Old Testament. Verse 5, then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. So the devil said, okay, you want to use Scripture? I'll use Scripture. And the devil goes back to the Old Testament and pulls out two verses out of the Old Testament, out of Psalm 91, verses 11 and 12, to try to quote to Jesus. The problem was, is he misquoted the verse. He didn't quote it exactly as it was written. But what Jesus simply did is he went back to another verse in verse 7. Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. He went back and he pulled a verse out of Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 16, and quoted it to the devil. Then the devil tried it again, of course, and he goes off and he takes him to a high mountain, shows him all the kingdom of the world and the glory of them. In verse 8, saith unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. I believe that Jesus went back to the Old Testament again in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 13 and threw another verse at him. What did the Lord use? He used the rod of the Word of God for his protection. The Bible says that the devil leaveth him. Behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Now, the devil didn't leave him that long. The devil came back again after this. But what did Jesus use in the wilderness as his protection? He used the Word of God. That's why this book is a symbol of the rod. It's a symbol. The rod is a symbol of the Word of God. All right, the staff. Let's move on here. The staff. I'm in Job. I need to get over to Psalm. Job and Psalm, they look alike. There we go. And thy staff, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Remember, the sheep, they were comforted knowing that the shepherd had his rod to protect them. Now, the staff was different. The staff did one main thing. It identified the shepherd as to who it was. When you saw a shepherd, that shepherd carried a staff, and it was a long stick of some sort with a crook on the end. You've all seen that. We're all familiar with that. It was an instrument used for the care and the management of the sheep, and only sheep. You cannot use a staff for anything other than a sheep. You can't use it for a cow. Use a ball bat for a cow, maybe. I don't. But you don't use a staff for the cow. You can't use a staff for a pig. What good's that going to do you? Or even a horse. But you can use a staff for the sheep. Again, it's not used for any other animal as far as I know. The rod conveys that concept of authority and power and discipline and defense. And the staff speaks of long-suffering and gentleness. Kindness. Many times a shepherd, as he's out there for long hours watching his sheep, he would lean on his staff. His staff would hold him up. It would help to comfort him himself as he is standing there for long, long periods of time. The staff represented the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit is what the staff represents. It represents the kindness, the comfort, the correction of the Holy Spirit. And so we have the Holy Scriptures represented as the rod, and we have the Holy Spirit represented as the staff. Both were needed for that shepherd. Both were needed for the flock. What is it that you and I need today? We need the Word of God, and we need the Holy Spirit. When you get saved, the Holy Spirit comes and abides with you until you die. He is with you all the time. He's your internal comforter. He's your internal counselor. He's your internal teacher. He does everything for you. He shows you kindness when you need it. He convicts you when you need it. The Holy Spirit is there all the time. helping and just using the Word of God to do whatever He has to do to help you. Now, quickly, and I'm almost done. There's three areas that the staff was used for. One thing that it was used for was to draw the sheep closer to the shepherd. He would use the staff to draw the sheep. He'd use the crooked end, put it around the sheep, and pull it towards him. Why would he do that? For that examination. For that time in which the shepherd was examining the sheep. So he would use that. Now, there were some sheep that would walk right up to the shepherd, but there are also some timid sheep in the flock. And so the timid sheep would have to use a little coercion to try to pull the sheep closer to him. The thing that I love about this is that the Holy Spirit is always drawing us closer to Jesus Christ. Always. The Holy Spirit does not want all the attention. The Holy Spirit takes all of the attention and points it to Jesus Christ. That's the Holy Spirit's job, by the way. Sometimes we Baptists are afraid of the Holy Spirit because we don't want to be classed as Pentecostal or charismatic. And that's a shame because the Holy Spirit's job is just as important as God the Father, God the Son. But the Spirit of God, He has kindness, He has comfort, He even uses correction. But the Holy Spirit always draws us to Jesus Christ. And so that's what the staff would be used for, is to draw the sheep together, get them there so the shepherd could examine them and whatever he had to do to check them out and make sure that they were okay. The second thing that the staff was used for was for guiding sheep. Many times the shepherd would just take his staff and he would push it on a sheep. If the sheep was getting a little off, he would just hold it on the side as the sheep was walking just to guide them down a path, maybe to make a little turn here. Just guide them over. And once you get a couple of them going one way, they're all going to follow. And so the staff was used simply to guide the sheep. Look at John chapter 14. John 14. I believe that the Holy Spirit's... I don't believe it. I mean, we know it. John 14 in the Bible gives us many examples of this, but the Holy Spirit's job is to guide us. Along with the Word of God, we get the guidance from the Holy Spirit. We are constantly, the Holy Spirit is constantly trying to guide us and direct us and help us and understand the Bible and understand what His will is for our life is. That's the Holy Spirit's job. He has an amazing job on all of us. He has an incredible job to do with every single one of us. How he can keep up with all of us, I don't know, but he's the Holy Spirit. He can do that. He's God. He's God Almighty. The Holy Spirit is no less God than God the Father is. There are some religions that Jehovah Witness is one of them, can't stand the Holy Spirit. They hate the Holy Spirit. They don't believe in the Holy Spirit. They don't believe that he is a personal God. They don't believe that he's part of the Godhead. They don't believe that he's part of the Trinity. They don't even believe in the Trinity. We've sat down with Jehovah's Witnesses and we've talked with them and they'll just argue till they're blue in the face. They can't stand the Holy Spirit. It's because they're under conviction by the Holy Spirit. John chapter 14, verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. And so the Holy Spirit's job is to give us that comfort. The Holy Spirit's job is to guide the sheep. Look at chapter 15, John 15. Just turn over a page, verse 26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. The Spirit's job is to testify of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit's job is to convict us and draw us and point us to Jesus Christ, not to himself. That's the Spirit's job. Chapter 16 and verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, of sin because they believe not on me. of righteousness because I go to my Father, and you see him, and you see me no more, of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. So the Holy Spirit's job has a tremendous job, but he is trying to guide the sheep. He's trying to guide me. He's trying to guide you. Do you listen when he tells you to do something? Do you go where he tells you to go? If he tells you to do something, you need to do it. You need to say, yes, sir, and you need to do what he tells you. He tries to guide. That's the job of the shepherd with the staff, to guide the sheep down a path, guide them through, make sure they get through the gate safely. We see that in John chapter 10. John 10. I love John 10. Don't you love John 10? Talks of the good shepherd. Look at verse 7. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he should be saved, and go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. And he goes on and talks a lot about that in that passage of Scripture. But that is the job of the Holy Spirit, or the staff, is to guide the sheep, to give them some guidance, give them some direction, and that's the Holy Spirit's job, is to give us that guidance and that direction that we need. And believe me, we need a lot of that. Left to ourselves, what are we going to do? Destroy ourselves. Left to ourselves, we're just going to go off and do our own thing, and only God knows what would happen to us if we're just left to ourselves, to fend for ourselves. Aren't you glad that the Holy Spirit is there with you? The moment that you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit. He not only gives you the Holy Spirit, he gives you the Holy Scriptures. Amen. We have the rod of the Scriptures, and we have the staff of the Holy Spirit to be with us, to guide us. And then the third thing that the staff is used for is to find sheep that get stuck in those wild roses, those bramble bushes of some kind. The thorns would get stuck to the wool, and how are you going to get them out of that, right? I mean, how are you going to get a sheep out of that stuck area or that stuck area without that staff moving in there and trying to pry them and get that wool out of that situation, try to get the sheep out of them, using the crook to gently pull them out of the danger that they're in? Well, what a picture of that, of the Holy Spirit is. Don't say anything out loud, but did you ever get in trouble? You ever get in trouble with God? Sometimes we get in trouble with God. Sometimes we do things that we're not supposed to do. And that gentle staff is used by the Holy Spirit, by God Almighty, to get you out of some of those situations that you might get yourself into. We serve a loving God. Not only carries the rod of the Word of God, but he has that gentle staff that can just gently get you out of situations that you got yourself into. They say that sometimes a sheep would go find some wonderful fodder there, you know, the forage inside those bramble bushes, and it would just start going through, not even paying attention where it is. And once it gets in, it's very difficult to get out. Well, the shepherd would use his staff to pull the sheep out of that situation, and to then he would have to probably use his oil and his wine. The wine was an antiseptic that he would carry with him, put on any of the scratches or cuts that he may have had, and tend to the sheep. That's what the shepherd's job was. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I think I quoted it right. I'm not sure. I'm so thankful for God. I'm so thankful for his word. I'm so thankful for going through a valley And you are either in a valley now, you have been through a valley, or several valleys, or you're going to go through a valley. If you're not in a valley right now, the good news is you're going to go through one. And it's good to know that our shepherd goes with us. He walks through the valley with us. And it may be a shadow of death. But I said this morning, you need to walk. You need to keep walking. When you're in the valley, you don't stop and get discouraged and get all down and depressed. You keep on walking. Because when you get to where the goal is to get up to the meadowlands, to get up to the high country, to get up to the higher ground, to keep pressing on to the higher ground. That is the goal of the shepherd taking the sheep up through the valleys, to get them up to the grazing land, to get them up to that higher ground. That's the goal of the shepherd. That's the goal of God. He wants all of us on higher ground. He doesn't want us living in the lowlands of this life, the world, the flesh, and the devil. This is not where God wants us living. We can go up to the mountaintop with God, but in order to get up there, you've got to go through some valleys. Some of them are going to be deep. Some of them are going to be dark. And there's a lot of danger, as we talked about this morning, going up through those valleys with the predators and all of the different things that can happen to a sheep and or the shepherd. There's danger in those valleys. But I'm so glad that the Lord is our shepherd. So glad that He goes with us. Travels up the valley. Travels through the valley with us. You'll never, as a Christian, you'll never ever be alone. Your shepherd is with you all the time. Rich, I want to, for an invitation, let's sing that I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day, higher ground. Not sure the number of the song, but let's bow our heads, have a word of prayer. Rich will find that song, and we'll sing that as an invitation. Father, again, we thank You and praise You, Lord, for being our shepherd tonight. Thank You, Lord, for the rod of Your scriptures, the rod of this book that we have in front of us. Lord, help us to read it. Help us to study it. Help us to meditate on it. Help us, Lord, to use it for protection, for guidance, for direction. Lord, thank You for the staff of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we're so grateful and thankful tonight that when You left here, You gave us. Father, You gave the Holy Spirit to every one of us at the moment of salvation. Lord, we are grateful and thankful for the guidance that we get, the protection, Lord, just knowing that staff is there for examination. Lord, we just thank You for that. We thank You for the Holy Spirit tonight. We thank You for the conviction that we can get from the Holy Spirit, the direction that we get from the Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that You just speak to our hearts tonight. If there's anybody that's not saved, we pray that they would be saved tonight. We also pray, Lord, that if there's somebody here, maybe in a dangerous situation, or maybe they're going through a very dark valley right now, Lord, just minister to them and bless them in a great and mighty way. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Find a number?
327.
327. Let's stand and sing that together. 327, higher ground. If you need to come for anything tonight, you come. I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on high.